be here tonight. I pray that you would be glorified as our service continues. I trust you in peace for what's transpired already. We want the remaining portion to have your blessing. I pray that your spirit would fill me, control me, that I would know what I ought to say and know what I ought not to say. Work your purposes, Lord. We thank you in your name. Andrew, you like message titles, don't you?
Yes, sir.
He's curious. He saw something up here. And the title of this one is called Tools. That make sense now, Andrew?
I had an idea.
Huh?
I had an idea.
All right. Tools. How does the Master use us? I want us to think about some tools this evening, and I would like you to look at 2 Timothy 2, 20 and 21. 2 Timothy 2, 20 and 21. And it tells us here, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, in other words, these dishonorable things, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet or useful for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. I want us to talk about how the Lord accomplishes things this evening. How does God work? God, in his wisdom, has chosen to use people to accomplish your will. Have you ever figured that out? Sure we have. God could accomplish his work, for instance, through angels at the birth of his son. Luke chapter 2 records for us that God did employ some angels that appeared to some shepherds, didn't they? There have been some times when there have been other appearances of angelic beings. For instance, when Daniel was in the lion's den and the king fearfully assumed that Daniel was going to be consumed by that group of hungry lions, that Daniel was tossed down into to spend the night, what was Daniel's response? So the king, when the king cried out the next morning, "Are you still there?" What was Daniel's report? "The Lord, yeah, it's all right, king. The Lord sent what? An angel. Shut the mouth of these lions." And God could accomplish his work that way, couldn't he? But God chooses to use people. And as we think about the way God uses people, does the Lord accomplish his work with people the same way across the board? Yes or no? Does he use people the same way every time? No, he doesn't. Are all tools used the same way? Yes or no? No. Well, I want us to talk about some tools and just realize that thought this evening, and I want us to just consider some differences in the way tools are used. For instance, number one, some tools are used quite often. What kind of tools are used quite often? Well, I brought some here this evening, and I think you'll agree, probably every household has them. What's this?
Screwdriver.
Happens to be a flathead. I didn't bring a Phillips. But how many of you ever used a screwdriver for anything? Oh, of course. And we're always finding some use for them. No home would be complete without some good screwdrivers to get your hands on. This one is a pretty wide one. Sometimes the job calls for a smaller, the screw head is smaller. And in the toolbox, there's smaller ones. Sometimes it's a bigger screw, a heavier job. And in the toolbox, there are some heavier ones. I just picked medium average size here. What's this? What is that? I was thinking when Andrew was saying he couldn't pull out someone's teeth. I started to say, that's not true, Andrew. There is a pair of pliers right down there by your waist, and you could pull someone's tooth with it. Well, how many of you have ever used a pair of pliers? Sure we have. You haven't, Greg? What's that?
I'm just a little slower.
I guess you are.
Okay, we're about to raise his hand. He's raising his hand on the inside.
Raising his hand on the inside. There you go. Anyway, multiple uses. Boy, don't these things come in handy. Right. Is the pliers used the same way that the screwdriver is used? No. It'd be hard with a screwdriver to pinch and hold something together that you needed to get held together with a screwdriver. It would be hard to tighten down that screw with a pair of pliers. Now I know if it's sticking out a little bit, poor boy has four ways and he can tighten it down a little bit, but to finish it off, he needs the screwdriver. Well, that's not the only thing that quite often we find use for around the house. What's this?
Hammer.
Hammer. Now, is the hammer used the same way that a screwdriver is? What about the same way that a pair of pliers is? Many times, what you've tried to fix with the screwdriver and the pair of pliers, out of frustration, we grab another tool and we show it who's boss. We just beat the tar out of it, ruin it, whatever, but we feel better anyway, don't we? Hammer, all those are useful. Even the very shape of them. On one side, we're driving down the nail. On the other side, we are pulling out, and I quite often do that. A nail that I have, bam, have to pull it out and start over again with another nice straight one. Now, Stan and John, previous carpenters, I'm sure they had very few nails that they had to remove because they bent them in their career, but occasionally. So, as we think about this, some are used often. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5, it says, who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. As we think of these two gentlemen named here, is it safe to say that Paul was used often in the Lord's work in those years of the establishing of the church and helping the churches to grow, yes or no? Was Paul a tool that God used often? Sure he was. And even Apollos, you find his name in numerous places. But what about somebody like Epaphroditus? We read about him. He was the one that outworked himself to death. I think his name only shows up once or twice, but he had a great use. God doesn't use them all the same way. And some, as we've seen, are used quite often. We'll put these away until we need them. Okay? Moving on. Some are seldom used. Seldom used. What do you mean? In my instance, I was thinking of some things that are seldom used. How many of you know what a soldering iron or a soldering gun is? Now, maybe if you're an electrician and you work attaching and disconnecting electrical wires and things like that, you might use a soldering gun quite often. But for somebody like me, I don't use them very often. I have one. I bought one when I was in high school. Why did you do that, you say? Well, I worked for a TV and radio shop. That back then, when your record player, CD, or your radio quit working, you didn't throw it away and go down to Walmart and buy a new one. You know what you would do? You would take it to a repair shop. And there were people who knew how to find the problem and repair it and fix it. And as a high schooler working there, I became fascinated. My dad didn't have a soldering iron like a soldering gun, one of those pistol grip ones, you know, you first click, it's kind of low heat, click it again and it gets a hotter heat, and man, it'll really melt that solder. And I thought, well, I need one of them. So I bought it. Have you ever used it, Pastor? Yeah, But may I suggest to you, there are years that pass that I never go down into the basement and open up the box and get the old soldering gun out. I still have it, but I seldom use it. I don't normally deal with wiring and things like that that need to be fixed. Some others that are not really used that often, but they're very important. A staple gun. You say, well, I use a staple gun all the time, but I don't. I don't need a staple gun in my office. I suppose I can staple papers on the wall of the wood paneling that's in there. Maybe it'd be easier for me to find things. But, you know, a staple gun is an important thing. And it's nice to have one. I've had one for many years. And when I need it to reattach something or to advertise an upcoming garage sale, and I want to put the garage sale sign on the utility pole on our road, I'll get that staple gun out there, and I've got the sign up. Boy, those tools are nice. Sure beats taking a little staple and beating your fingers to death trying to get that staple to go in there. I usually hit my fingers more than I would hit the staple, and was most appreciative of the staple gun. Number three, there are some times and before we go, let me show you another one of these tools that are seldom used. Y'all know what a staple gun is. Y'all know what a soldering iron is. Well, what's this? What in the world is that? Stan, you probably know. He does. You turn that head sideways. And it opens and closes. Well, it's called, Doug said, a plumber's tool. That's a generic name for it. You know what it is, John?
I think it's called a basin wrench.
It is called a basin wrench. How many of you men have ever had to work underneath a sink basin, and you've had to reach way up there and get a hold of an old fixture and loosen it because the old one has gone bad and you need to replace it and put a new set of fixtures on there? You can't reach your crescent wrench up there because there's no room. But somebody smarter than me figured out that if you put that up there, and depending upon whether you're wanting to tighten it or loosen it, that it puts the pressure on that nut up there, and you're able to get it apart. Jim, you probably used these before. You wish you had one, don't you? He could have used it when they moved into their new house. I know he's done sink and fixture replacement. Next time you need one, just remember, Dad has one. You're welcome to use. How many times have I used this since I bought it? Two, maybe three times at our house. The rest of the time, it just lays down there on my workbench. But I know if I need to work on that sink and work on a new set of faucets, I've got the tool that I need to be able to take that apart. I don't use it. It's like I use a screwdriver or a pair of pliers. But when the job showed up, it was sure nice. You know why I bought that? Because there was a time when I was working on a faucet that needed to be replaced, And with all of my tools, there was no way in the world I could get up in there and get that thing apart until I went to the hardware store and I bought one of them because someone told me what you need is a basin wrench. And that will help you get the job done. So, some tools are used quite often. Some are seldom used, but they're useful when there's a job to be done. Some are used only once. Some are used only once. I remember there was a time, it probably was the time that Brian Hines helped me with that old snot green Mustang that we had, that Mustang 2. We were in Jonathan's garage working on it, and we had to replace the heater blower in that thing. And I can't remember what the problem was, why we needed this, but I needed to, I don't know whether the replacement blower we were going to put in was larger than the original or whatever. Bottom line is, we ended up borrowing from Ken Beeman a drywall saw. A drywall saw to cut some things under the dash that needed to be cut in order for us to be able to successfully get that heater blower put in there. Do you know that I had never needed one ever before? Never. I don't even know that I knew what a drywall saw was. How many of you know what a drywall saw is? There's a few of you. But I never needed one. But I needed one that time. And when we found one, the job was able to be done. Do you know that sometimes you say, well, you know, I want to be useful for the Lord. I kind of like to be one of those persons like Paul or Apollos that the Lord uses often. Well, do you know that I've never heard a tool talk and say, when I go out into the garage to get a job accomplished, use me, take me. Never once. God doesn't give us the option. And that's not how God, when God has a job to do, the Lord is the one that determines who He will use and how often He will use that individual. With some, God uses quite often. Others, once in a while. But there's some that the Lord has job for, he's only going to use it one time. Turn with me if you would. 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor. He was very courageous and had proven to be a very useful soldier. What's your Bible say? But he was what?
A leper.
A leper. Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, small girl, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, or the master's wife, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would heal or recover him of his leprosy." What happened there? Here was this little captive girl, this little Jewish girl who had been carried away by the Syrians, taken to a strange land. She ended up in this leper's home, and she was the little girl assigned to help this leper's wife. She knew what was wrong with him. And one day she just happened to say, "Boy, you know, it's too bad my Lord, your husband, can't get to the prophet that's in Samaria." That's the northern kingdom, Israel. "Because if he would, that prophet would heal him of his leprosy." What was the context? Was she sweeping the floor? Were they making chocolate chip cookies? What was she doing? She just shared what she knew, opened her mouth, and gave glory to the Lord. There was only one time this girl was ever used by the Lord. You say, "Well, what? Why are you saying she's used by the Lord?" You know the story, don't you? You know that word spread. Soon Naaman was sent down to the king of Israel with 10,000 pieces of currency. And Naaman said, "I brought this so that you'll heal me of my disease." And the king said, "The king of Samaria is doing everything he can to start a war. I can't heal you of your leprosy." And who was it? We find that Elisha, God's servant, heard that this soldier had showed up willing to pay money to be healed of his leprosy. And Elisha said, "Send him to me. I'll take care of it." We know the story, don't we? Ultimately, Naaman was healed of his leprosy. He was so grateful to the Lord. He went back to Elisha. He wanted to pay for the miracle that had taken place with money and garments and things like this. And Elisha said, "Keep it. That's not what we're about here." And we find that he said, "Well, if you won't take money," he said, "I'm convinced that your God is the true God. I'm convinced, I know in verse 15 of 2 Kings 5, there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now, I pray, take a blessing from me." And Elisha continued to refuse. And he said, in verse 17, "Shall there not then, I pray thee, would you do this for me? Would you allow me to take two mules burden of earth? Would you allow me to take some soil back to my own country so that I can worship your God on this sacred soil. Your God is special. And at that point, we find God had used this little girl for one important task. Naaman became a believer in the Lord, and he wanted to worship the Lord. How'd that happen? Because God chose to use one little girl, one tool, one time, and God got the glory for it. Are any of these tools more or less important than the other? As we have looked at this, is a hammer more important than this basin wrench, for instance? Is the screwdriver more important than the pair of pliers? No. It depends on the job, doesn't it? It depends upon the job and the purpose of the tool. A particular job, each tool is important. Number four, in any building project, the individual, not the tool, decides what's going to be used. In any building project, the workman, the one who is wanting to accomplish, that individual, he looks at what needs to be done and he decides for himself, I need this. And he goes to his toolbox and he does that so that he can successfully accomplish what he needs to do, what he needs to do. In Romans chapter 14, verse 8, Paul had this to say. Romans 14, 8. He said, whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 20, Paul said this familiar thought. Philippians 1, 20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. You know what Paul is saying in both Romans 14 and in Philippians 1? All that matters to me is that however God wants to use me, I want to be available. And here in Philippians, he said, if he wants to use me and takes my life in the process, that's fine with me. If he wants to use me and allows me to live, to continue on, it's up to the Lord how he uses me, not me. It's not up to us to say, Lord, I'm willing to let you use me here and here and like that and like this. But I'm not willing to be used in such a way. As we think of this, we see number five as we think about these tools. Once the job has been completed, no one praises the tool that was used. But who gets the glory? Who gets the glory?
The person uses it.
Pardon?
The person that uses it.
The person that used the tool. I don't care how you meet I don't care how special, I don't care how unusual the tool, when the job is completed, it is always the one who knew what to do with the tool that gets the glory, right? As we think of how God works, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, Paul put it this way. He said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. This treasure, what? God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, this knowledge of the Lord and who He is and how He works and what He can do for a person and the salvation that comes through Him. And He says, but you know what? This treasure, what's an earthen vessel? Who are we? What are we? What are we made of? Dust. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of power may be of whom? Of God and not of us. When God does a work, it's always God's purpose and God's will that He gets the glory through the way God used the tool. As we think of this, one closing thought that I want us to kind of sum this all up with. When there's a job to be accomplished, the thing that is critical is whether or not the one who is going to accomplish the job can get his hands on the tool that needs to be used. What are you saying, Pastor? When God has a job to be accomplished, when He looks at you and He looks at me, does He find a willingness in your heart? Use me, Lord, however you want. If you have a job you want to accomplish and you could use me, Lord. I'm yours. I'm here. That is what this is all about. Are the tools readily available when the master has a job that he wants to accomplish? Tools, that's you. That's me. Can he count on us when he has something he wants to get done? Let's close it. Thank you, Father, for this time to think in a different way of your will, your ways. Lord, we talked about tools this evening, earthly speaking, but in a sense, we are tools in your hands. And the important thing is, how usable are we? When you want to put your hand on us and use us for a particular job, do we cooperate or do we dig in our heels and tell you, no, Lord, I don't want to do that. I won't.